Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. I'm Paisley Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. And this week we're joined by Genevieve, Married at First Sight matchmaker.
No, I am really chuffed about this one.
Yeah, you did really well.
I love Genevieve. I've interviewed her loads. I'm addicted to her.
Of course she's your pal. Everyone is your pal.
No, I saw her on telly and I was like, I'm going to make her my professional friend. And then I did.
A professional friend?
You know.
I need to talk to you about people's sexiest man alive. Because
what people?
People magazine.
Oh, sorry.
You know, it's a thing. It's a thing every year and it came out in November.
Stunning.
It's hilarious.
Okay. Can you tell me the concept of it? Do they vote? Who does someone vote?
I think it's readers that vote.
Okay.
Every year for their sex, I'm using air quotes, sexiest men. So one man gets crowned. Do you want to know what? So that man this year, because this isn't the funniest part. So the main winner is Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
I think we can all
agree.
Get behind. But some of the categories in here are just, let's just say they've updated it for 2020.
Okay, hang on. So he won sexiest man in general.
Yeah. And then there's like separate categories.
Okay.
So I'll start you off slow.
Oh.
So one of the categories is guy who has been sexy so long, they should retire his sexy jersey number. So,
is this a joke? Are they doing it knowing that they're being cringe?
I'd like to think so, but I don't know when we get further on. So who do you think would win that?
So someone who's been sexy for a really long time.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, he wasn't even up there.
What?
It's not even up here. There's, oh, damn it, Brad Pitt.
Oh, no.
Do you know who is up there, though? Robert Redford.
Don't know who that is.
You don't know from, I can't remember the name. That really good film.
Oh, did he start
the Watergate scandal thing?
Oh, he started the, okay.
Okay, no. Moving on. Sexiest royal.
Oh, Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah! Do you agree?
I actually think I'm more of a Prince William.
Boring.
Okay, now we're getting into the good stuff. Sexiest brothers.
Ooh, Dylan and Cole Sprouse.
How old are they? Aren't they a bit young?
I'm young at heart, baby.
No, I'm afraid it's the Hemsworth brothers.
Yeah, they were going to be my second choice.
But my favourite thing about this is they've included all three of them.
Oh, who's the third one?
Precisely. Okay, now we'll get to the good stuff. Sexiest content in quarantine.
What the fuck?
So the description says, lockdown heated up when these guys posted to their feeds. Ooh. So for you, Paisley, who's been providing the sexiest content in quarantine?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
He's been going for runs in like bin bags. Is it Shia or Shia?
I called him Shia, but probably should check that.
I'm so glad you agree.
I do. Have you seen the video of him and he must meet like a fan's mum and she starts recording and he's like, don't panic. You got to be confident. You got to be confident. So I think she doesn't know if she's taking a video or a picture.
Oh no, but I will watch that. I love him.
Unfortunately, the winner is Shawn Mendes, who all I think of is Benny Drama's impressions of Shawn Mendes.
Yeah. I know. Not for me. You?
For me, it might be like The Rock.
It's always The Rock. That's your answer to every question.
Right, who do you think is the sexiest happily settled guy? And I didn't make that up. That's a category.
Happily settled. Okay, what? Who do I think has won it?
Yeah.
I reckon that it would be Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my God, you're bang on!
Ding, ding, ding. They love him and Blake Lively. Yeah. Everyone thinks that they're a dream couple.
If you'd like to know the other nominees, mm-hmm. there is Tom Hanks.
Fair.
Seth Rogen, who I didn't even know was settled, Kevin Bacon, and Keanu Reeves, who I also didn't know was settled. No, I did know Keanu Reeves.
He's been with his wife for like years and years and years. He's such a nice man. Oh,
right. Okay, Keanu. Now, because I do want to get to the. I don't want Genevieve to join halfway through our game.
Okay.
Sexiest new dad.
Zayn Malik.
He's nominated, but he didn't win. Try again.
I don't know any other dads.
Joe Jonas. You'll know this one, right? Sexiest chart topper. Chart topper is just my favourite phrase.
Sorry, did they write this in like 2010? What's a chart topper? What is the charts anymore?
Yeah. Who are the charts?
What is the chart?
No, you'll approve of this one.
Oh, I fancy them, do I? Harry Styles.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a similar one to one before. Sexiest guy who entertained us in lockdown.
Oh, I don't know, Elsie.
John Krasinski, fully behind that one. He is, oh.
Is he a hunk?
Now, hang on, this is my favourite one. Sexiest man in a mask.
Mike Myers. Sore. You're right, mate. She's gone. Laura loves a Halloween joke.
Oh, that's really tickle. Okay.
No, Jason. I don't know.
Hang on. If I give you some context, it will help. Their eyes had it this year as men who care as men who cared about public health masked up across the country.
Oh, I don't know. Someone with beautiful eyes, I guess.
Jacob Elordi, have you heard of him?
Never heard of him. You?
No. Also up for this prestigious award was Ben Affleck, Chris Pine, Hugh Jackman and Patrick Dempsey. Patrick Dempsey has lovely eyes.
Don't know who he is.
You don't know who he is? He's in, I can't think of a single film.
So he's nobody. Got it.
And I think that's a great one to just finish on.
Oh, thank you. I love this game.
I need to just go and calm myself down before right. Genevieve comes.
Yeah, let's pull ourselves together. We're joined today by Genevieve Gresset, a professional matchmaker who is vice president of a group of international matchmaking agencies. She also runs Relationship Retreats and is Married at First Sight's resident dating expert. As the majority of her clients are straight couples, we will mainly be focusing on male-female pairings today. Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Genevieve. Sorry, I was a bit delayed there. Don't know
Laura,
why.
We're recording now.
Hi, Laura. Just checking you're with us.
No, I very much am, and I'm really excited to hear your story. So how did you become to be a matchmaker?
Oh, it was purely by accident. About 27 years ago, I was in a relationship and I was quite happy in my relationship and I'm an old romantic and I didn't like it when people used to say to me that they were sad and lonely and they needed to meet someone. So I spent, it was my mission. It was kind of I was on a mission very early on of always putting people together. And this started off at college and then carried on. And when I got into a work environment, I was always sort of saying, oh, you should have lunch with so-and-so or you should go out with so-and-so. And very quickly, I started to realise that I could see patterns and see things in people. So I went off and studied some coaching and some other interpersonal skills. And I was working at the time in training and development. So by doing that, I the bits that I wanted more training on was all the personal skills, the soft skills side. So I just studied all of that to my heart's content, from body language to all sorts of different things. And also a bit of psychology with psychological testing and all of that, just to understand people's behaviours and patterns a little bit more. Then about 27 years ago now, I decided to set up, just to test it out, because there was nothing else out there, a supper club. So I had something called the Secret Supper Club, which I ran sort of in Surrey, and had the Surrey Dining Club as well. But it was all little secret suppers. So people wouldn't know where they were meeting. And I would give them a phone call on the day and tell them, meet at this place at 8 o'clock. And I'd hire like a back room of a restaurant somewhere. And it started with 20 or 30 people. And within a year, I had 1,000 people that wanted to come to my suppers, and 8 marriages already under my belt.
So were you picking people? Were you trying to match them then at that point?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would change. I know. I would put people sort of in the room, and then I'd watch them. And with the body language, I'd watch and see who was kind of checking who out. And I would move them around in between courses. And so by dessert, I would really see who's really checking somebody out. So I'd sit them next to each other for dessert. So that was how it went. And sometimes as it came, sort of went on, I'd then start putting people together at the beginning for starters, and then put them back together for dessert again if they were still checking each other out through the main course. Oh. And that was so that was really good. I remember one couple that I kept putting them together, and I knew they should be together, and they just wouldn't talk to each other. I thought, I'm getting really fed up with this. So for the next few times they came along, I deliberately kept them apart. And then on about the third or fourth time, I put them together, and that was it. That was it. No. We were off.
My first thought that springs to mind, what do you do if there's someone that isn't, like, no one seems to like them? Do they have to go and sit outside?
There's no naughty corner. No, of course not. And that's never happened. Everybody always talks to somebody, and I have a host on each table. I mean, now they're much bigger events, but I have a host on each table when I've run them in the UK in the last few years, well, the last 10, 15 years. But in particular, what I do is I have a host on each table who will look after anybody who's struggling to communicate, or just seems...
who's floundering. You
know, yeah, who just seems uncomfortable, because not everybody is comfortable being in that situation. They think it'll be a great idea, and then they go along, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. So I always say to people, go for drinks first. And we try and have drinks parties before the suppers. So that sort of breaks the ice a little bit more as well.
Just as you were saying that, it made me wonder, how many matches/marriages have you been responsible for?
Ooh. Oh, do you know what? It's really, that's the hardest thing, because sometimes I'll find out years later that people have got married. I had one woman not so long ago say to me, oh, you introduced my friend and her husband, and you introduced my sister, and now I want to be introduced. So, wow. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, who's your friend? Let's just backtrack a little bit. And who's... So I think it must be well over 1,000, if not 1,500.
Oh my God.
If not more. I've got no idea how many I'm directly responsible for, because there's that indirect responsibility, yeah, as well, through the events, and also through people meeting and taking numbers, and maybe not getting together for 6 months or a year later, but they've met at something that I've organised for them.
What a joyous job.
I wish you could see my face then, because you know in like cartoon characters when their eyes pop out their heads and they see like dollar signs. Mine did that, but I just saw husband.
How many husbands are you after, Laura?
Just the one.
Okay, we could do that.
Not too greedy.
Perfect.
So what kind of people do come to you?
Anybody that wants a serious relationship. Obviously, on the retreat side, we get people who are going through difficulty, who are struggling, who you know, perhaps keep meeting the wrong types of people. And we also get couples that come to us who are struggling in their relationship. So we do singles and couples retreats. But so that's separate, the matchmaking side. And also the matchmaking side, sometimes I get people that are just not ready on any level. So hence, by being a coach, we're able to help them and support them and put them on a coaching journey before we even think about introducing them to somebody. Because at the end of the day, you attract what you give off. And if you keep giving off the wrong things, you're going to keep attracting the wrong people. And sometimes you can't see that. And friends are too kind and will say, no, you're lovely, you're everything else. And they don't really know what you're like or who you are when it comes to dating.
So what could you be giving off that's not attracting someone?
Okay, so the first thing that you could be giving off is, I don't need anybody. This is probably the biggest problem with women in the UK, of professional women. Professional women give off.
Personally victimised.
Okay, so the biggest problem with that I've come across is professional women give off this, I don't need you, I'm too independent, I don't want a man. So they're putting them off before they're even attracting them.
Okay.
Can I just check, when we talk about this, we're going to talk mainly about men and women pairings.
Yeah, sure. Women tend to interview men. It's like,
oh,
they've
God,
made
I'm so bad at this.
Yeah. It's like they've made their mind up. Yeah. But the biggest complaint I get after a first date is, God, that was like going on an interview. There wasn't a chance to see if there would be anything romantic going on because I felt like I was being interviewed. I felt like I wasn't good enough. And she was deep diving into talking about things. I felt very inferior to her. So, you know, there's a lot of that. Women go in with an air of superiority to dating. And they think, if the man doesn't fit all my criteria, then on to the next one. People treat it like a commodity. It's like buying a pair of shoes. If you buy a pair of shoes and they're uncomfortable, you take them back. Rather than sitting in the shop and really trying that pair of shoes on, walking around with them, you know, really feeling what they'll feel like. Would they be good for this? Would they be good for that? And really, you know, I remember used to buying shoes and really loving the shoes before I left the shop. Whereas it's a bit like dating. People should go on a date and really focus their attention on getting to know and being curious and seeing how well that other person fits them without going into full-on interrogation mode. Let it happen naturally. Have some natural conversation. Keep it light. You know, don't go into how many children do you want and what schools are they going to go to? And believe me, I hear that on first dates happening a lot. So you've got to keep it so that it's a flowing conversation and you talk about stuff that's general life. So it could be holidays, places you've been on, so that you're uncovering what you like about that person and what they like about life.
I guess it's because people have a lot of like deal breakers, right? And they want to find out if those deal breakers are there so they're not like wasting their time. Is that how it's kind of?
Yes, but that's where they're doing it wrong, you see. You do that before you go on the date. You don't waste your time on the date. So if you've got specific deal breakers, and also you need to get your deal breakers in check, okay? Because ladies are really good. I remember one lady coming to me with 60, or was it 65? It was about 60, 65 deal breakers. And I sat her down and I said,
it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. And I said, until you rip this up, we're not going any further. And I want you to whittle it down to 3. You need 3 deal breakers, no more. Because if you otherwise you're self-sabotaging the whole process. And at the end of the day, let's face it, you can go to a bar the old-fashioned way when bars were open, and you could go and you could sit in a bar or even on a train or a plane, start talking to somebody. You're both sat down. You don't know how tall they are. You don't know very much about them. You don't know where they live. And you get on and there's something there that makes you curious enough to want to know more and want to uncover and see them a little bit more. And there's, you know, there's a bit of funs going on. So that's how it should be. Yet if you go, you wouldn't go to someone at a bar and when they stand up there, you look at them and say, are you over 5'10"? And they say, no, I'm actually 5'9". Oh, sorry, I can't see you again. We've just had 3
Agreed.
Hours of great talking and a wonderful time. Oh, and where do you live? Oh, I live, you know, wherever. Oh, well, that's a mile out of my zone. So even though you've had a fabulous time, I'm not going to see you again. You know, this is how ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous deal breakers are. And personally, I think deal breakers are suffocating relationships and they're suffocating people's dating journeys. That's my viewpoint.
Do you mean like the little ones like that, as opposed to like, I really need to have children?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I mean, children, I think I would allow as a deal breaker. Smoking, and drugs and alcohol I would have as a deal breaker as well. So those are big lifestyle deal breakers.
Genevieve, and, sorry, I'm raising my hand. The thing is that's really hard though, is because the nature of dating now, like with dating apps, it makes us, we're forced to set those. So I totally agree with what you're saying, but like I have to set my radius for the amount of like miles, like I see someone, I have to pick their age for who is actually even going to come up for me. So do you know what I mean? It's hard.
So
I
feel open it up on online dating. So when I'm working with clients who are online dating, the first thing I say to them is, what's the furthest you'd go? Oh, I'd go anywhere in the country. Great. Put national down. If you really mean that, put national down. If someone says, I'm so busy with work. There's a practicality about setting yourself up to succeed. I'm really busy with work. I work in central London. I don't really want to travel more than an hour outside of central London. Great. Let's put it to maybe a 50-mile radius then from where you are. So it's actually, when you work with a coach or a matchmaker, we dig deep to find out how we can set you up to succeed rather than, you know, what the might be nice things are. That's the difference.
Okay. Can we go back to the like overly confident, independent women?
Yes, of course. Of course.
I feel like me and my friends all have this and we discuss it and then we come to the conclusion maybe we're arrogant. But we feel like men don't like funny women either. That's another thing. But also, how do you then find
someone? Well, it depends on fun.
Okay. Too fun. But then how do you find someone without changing who you are? Because surely
you don't have to change who you are. What you have to do is you have to put yourself in with a relationship head on rather than a single head on. Because relationship is all about compromise. Now, I'm not saying massive compromise, but there has to be compromise when you're merging two lives together. So, you know, if you want to go out partying every night with your girlfriends, or a guy wants to go out partying every night with his mates, that's going to not be a very healthy relationship moving forward for the two of you as a couple to have the trust.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To have all the other things that are needed to build upon on the get-go. It just doesn't happen. So yes, you can be independent. Yes, you can be funny. But there's a difference between being funny and making fun of other people and at other people's expense. And I think that's where lots of people come unstuck, because nice, kind, genuine guys are really put off by women who take the mickey out of other people and have that streak. And you need to look at yourself if that's something that you do, if you get a kick out of it. Because they say what goes around comes around, and it's very true. And I always say to people when I'm working with them on a coaching perspective, don't behave in a way that you wouldn't want other people to behave about you or to you.
I feel very ashamed and very seen.
No, and I'm not saying it for that, Laura. I'm really not. But there is a time when, yeah, when you're with your girlfriends and you're younger, and I see it, my daughter's in her 20s, I see it with her and her friends. And, you know, there's a generational thing. But then there's a time, and that's fine. If you don't want a serious relationship and you just want to be out there having fun, that's fine. You have to understand what type of relationship you want. And then you have to adapt to that. Because if you're wanting a fun party life, that's not really conducive to having a long-term, steady, living with someone relationship.
Okay.
Hence the compromise comes in.
Damn it.
Now, it could be, but it could be, Laura, that a full-on living with someone relationship isn't going to be right for you anyway for now, at the time of your life that you're in.
I mean, the joke really is here that I'm never partying.
Oh, okay. So is it it's the fantasy. Okay.
I mean, that's the real joke. That's the kicker.
The stinger.
Okay. So oh, we need to go deep, Laura. We need to go deep with this. So okay, that's interesting. So why are you saying that then? Do you want to? Is that what you want? Or is there something holding you back from really wanting a relationship?
Maybe fear.
I was going to say fear is the biggest one.
Why do I always end up here turning it into my own personal session?
No, but it's, as Genevieve said, that's the biggest one. A really common thing. So it's useful. Can you tell us about the fear stuff?
So fear. Now, it could be fear of success and thinking this is going to be the last person I have a relationship with. And it can also be fear of failure and fear of not being good enough for somebody. And also fear of just screwing it up.
Mm.
So it's understanding what the fear is. And is the fear, is it unfounded? Is it something that you need to work on? Is it something that is a pattern that needs to be broken?
Are they rhetorical questions, or is Laura going to answer?
you can answer them, or you can just pause for thought.
I feel like for a lot of people, myself included, I think there's also kind of a fear and an also... Oh, Paisley, would you agree? A kind of like, what's the point? I think with modern dating, you just get like let down, let down, let down.
So that's a pattern then. So yours is a fear of repeating a pattern.
Mm.
Okay. So then you break the pattern. So you have to work on yourself and think, okay, so why do I keep attracting these types of people into my life that keep letting me down?
What am I doing?
I thought it was just that the majority of the people are annoying and shit. It's nothing Laura's doing.
No.
You're saying we partly are to blame for the people
Absolutely.
We attract.
Crap.
You don't have to. You don't have to encourage those people into your relationship. You don't have to have a relationship with them. You have a choice.
But how do you weed them out before?
There's lots of different ways.
They let you down.
That's a whole new session. But I know. It's deep, isn't it? It's deep. And it's about projecting. It's what you give off, what you attract. So it's about looking at what you're doing to attract those people into your life and actually sitting down and working out what it is. And this is what we do on the retreats. We spend a whole day, and it is a whole day, looking at patterns, looking at the past and working through the past. So the retreats are set up with, we spend a day looking at the past, then the following day on the present and the future, because you've got to understand and break the patterns of the past before you can really step forward into the future to attract the right type of person. And you need to know what's really important for you. And until you know what's really important for you and what the key values and qualities in a person that you're looking for are, it's going to be difficult to then recognize that in somebody else and then want to hold on to them and work harder and dig deeper and, you know, try those shoes on a little bit more before you leave the store with them. So there's all of those things that need a little bit of work.
So Genevieve, what makes a good match? How do we know when we found a good match with someone?
It's how you feel energetically with that person. Do they feel like a comfortable pair of shoes? I'm going to use shoes for this. Are they going to be reliable? Do they show up when they say they're going to show up? It's all of those things. And it's about, we've got five areas of compatibility in a relationship, and it's making sure that those five areas really resonate with you and that you tick those five areas for that person and they tick your five areas. And those five areas are intellectual compatibility, emotional intelligence, emotional compatibility, physical. And I'm not just talking, you know, sex. I'm talking, you know, just looking at someone and just smiling when you're looking at them and thinking about them. Just everything about them makes you feel nice. It's not just a sexual fizzy thing. Then you've got the psychological compatibility. And then the final thing is spiritual. So that's the unseen stuff. That's the soul connection. It's the much deeper level. And that takes time to establish that. So that you don't often know first off. Or sometimes people can feel that they have this huge soulful connection with somebody and then they have to work out the other bits in between.
I am so interested in emotional intelligence. Could you explain like what it is and why it's important in a relationship?
Yeah, emotional intelligence is actually pretty key in any relationship that you have. So for example, emotional intelligence covers again five areas. I'm good with my fives. So you've got the self-awareness, you've got empathy, you've got motivation, self-regulation, and social skills. So those are the five areas that tend to make up what we class in the profession as emotional intelligence. And also, you know, anyone who does work on emotional intelligence. And when I'm looking at compatibility and when I'm looking at people to take on who say they're ready to date, I look at, you know, how self-aware are they about themselves and also about other people? And, you know, empathy, what's their empathy like? Or do they have zero empathy when it comes to, you know, other people's feelings? And motivation, what motivates them? What's their motivation behind wanting a relationship? What's their raison d'être, so to speak? And then self-regulation, how good are they at, you know, self-regulating in appropriate circumstances and not appropriate circumstances? And there's the social skills as well, because social skills are very important when it comes to emotional intelligence. And again, how someone interacts with people. Do they tend to go in and steal the limelight? Are they quite shy and reserved, or are they very comfortable speaking to anybody and making people feel comfortable and at home and in easy company with them?
And does immediate physical sexual attraction matter?
No. And I think Married at First Sight shows that across the majority of the shows around the world is, and I've had it a lot with people that have not found people attractive on the first date. And I'm not talking about beautiful or, you know, sexy or handsome or anything like that. But it's more, oh, I don't know what I'm attracted to. And often they're the people that come into this with fear. So what they're looking at is they're looking at reasons why not to be with somebody rather than looking at the reasons why that relationship could be healthy and compatible. So again, self-sabotage kicks in because we set ourselves up to look for every reason why we shouldn't have a second date with somebody. So if you give yourselves three dates with somebody and you're still not feeling it, fine, I surrender. However, if on the first date, there's enough curiosity to think, okay, let's go for a second date. And the second date gives you again, enough curiosity to think, okay, yeah, I can see why this could be interesting to explore a bit further. And so by the third date, you should know whether you would not necessarily want to marry them or have their babies or anything like that, but you should know if there's enough of the five areas that we were talking about with intelligence, emotional intelligence, and the intellectual, the physical, you know, the psychological, you should have enough information there to know whether you want to invest your time into taking this further.
Yeah, that makes sense. I totally agree with the self-sabotage thing, because there is often like, oh, is it worth it? But I see what you're saying. If there isn't, I guess your red flags, like you are.
Absolutely. I mean, on the psychological thing, that's the first thing I always say to people, especially if you're internet dating. Make sure that there's nothing in the past that's, you know, if you've seen Dirty John, you'll be terrified.
you would never date again.
But it works both ways. There are just as many narcissistic, psychopathic women out there as there are men. But it tends to be more men, unfortunately, scientifically. So, you know, there are things you have to put your safety first. You have to, if you're internet dating, you have to make sure the person is who they say they are and they're not, you know, they're not married, they're not in a relationship. And ask the questions outright. Don't dance around it. Ask them outright. So I just want to make sure that you are single. Don't be frightened to ask that. Just checking there's no wife that's going to come after me. Because 60% of people online, that was the low statistics that I got from the online dating community that I'm part of, is 60% of people online are in a relationship and they're online just for a pastime, just to get their ego stroked, just because they don't feel they're getting what they're getting from the relationship. Yeah, so they're online to get attention. It's an attention-seeking thing. And they're often the ones that won't talk to you on the phone. It's very easy to spot them. They won't talk to you on the phone. They won't come off the app and talk to you in WhatsApp or whatever else fairly quickly. They'll want to keep it going online.
I was just thinking again about the self-sabotaging, because it's definitely something I do. When you start to feel yourself doing it and you know you're doing it, how do you
say to yourself, okay, have a really good therapeutic session with yourself and say to yourself, right, I'm going to write down a list of my motivation. Let's tap into our emotional intelligence here. My motivation for wanting a relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, I can do one of two things. I can either carry on the motivational side and you know, follow this through with this person, or I'll just call it a day now. And then I'll just have some time to work on me, maybe go and work with a coach and just work on me so that I don't get to this point and keep repeating this pattern.
Mm-hmm. Can we all, and we also circle back on, you know, again, with the being too independent, but how do you... When you're single, I get when you're in a relationship or dating someone, but when you're single, how can you kind of, could you be coming across as too independent to then attract someone to date?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I can spot those women a mile off. I walk into a room and they've kind of got, and I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but they've kind of got, you know, get stuffed written on their head, basically. It looks like they're sucking lemons. And, you know, when I've run single events, I can walk into the room and I will go up to the women that look like that and say, are you all right being here? and they'll say to me, well, I don't see any point in really being here, but I've been dragged along by my friends. And I say to them, okay, then what I suggest is you kind of sit on the sidelines because you're really giving off this energy that you don't want to be here and no one's going to approach you. And then you're going to tell me at the end of the evening, you've had a really uncomfortable night. So either shake it off and get with the program and embrace it. You've got nothing to lose. You could be the person of your dreams tonight, or step out of the arena, or just go and speak to other people who are feeling that they don't want to be here. I almost feel sometimes when I run events that I want this naughty corner of people who really don't want to be there, that perhaps they're the wingmen and women, you know, somewhere for them to retreat to, because there's always a bunch of those and that they can really bring down the tone for whoever they're supporting. So if you're in it and you're out there and you're looking for someone, do it properly or don't do it at all.
Ooh, I like that.
You've got to, because at the end of the day, you'll just keep self-feeding, saying, well, there's no one out there. And if you go out with that attitude, of course, no one's going to be attracted to you, because you're going to be projecting this, well, no one wants to talk to me, so therefore I'm going to have this aura about me. And I'm sure you pick it up, ladies, when you're out and about and you can see someone, you think, oh God, they look miserable, or they look great, or you could just, it's an energy. So if you're feeling down about things and you're going out with the intention that you're never going to meet anyone, guess what? You're never going to meet anyone. So if you go out there with the intention, you know, I'm just going to have a really good time and I'm going to be open to seeing what people come my way. It's a bit like the Celestine Prophecy. I don't know if you've ever read the Celestine Prophecy. Oh, it's a great book. You've got to read it. But it's one of those things that it's all about that energy. It's all about the energy that you get, that you give off.
What harmful myths do you, lots of people believe about finding love that could be getting in the way?
That everyone's a player, that no one's faithful anymore. that relationships just don't last, that people are just, especially successful women, that men are just going to, I'm going to find a poor man who's just going to want me for my money. So there's lots of different things that people will be using to go into self-sabotage mode and to feed it. They really feed and nurture the self-sabotage.
Okay, so don't feed the self-sabotage.
Don't feed the monster. Yeah, there's a sabotage monster inside all of us. And we have a choice. We can feed that sabotage monster or we can starve it to death.
Mine is overfed 24/7.
Yeah, mine is you, stuffed.
We need to talk more.
To the brim.
And just to finish, Genevieve, have you learned anything from the Married at First Sight couples?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned from the Married at Sight couples is people have got to be really ready and willing to embrace the journey for the right reasons. And we saw thousands of people. There are about 7,500 people that applied for the last series. And we quickly eliminated a lot of people who really didn't understand what a relationship was and what work is necessary to make a relationship happen. And I mean, we had a 3 out of 4 success rate because the other two that we introduced off camera, because they, 3 days before their wedding, everything got cancelled, obviously because of lockdown. Mm. They're still together and going strong. And it's because we've carried on working with them. They've put the work in, and they're both very committed. In fact, the three couples that are together are very committed. They're very curious. They're very open to wanting this to work for them and wanting it to work for the other person as well. So it's not just an I, there's a we element. They've all come in with this big we as a couple, not just what am I going to get out of it. And I think that's the biggest thing that I look for, is people that are capable of being in a we in a relationship rather than the I and the other half of a relationship.
I'm just thinking. I feel like we've got a lot of food for thought.
To be continued.
Yes. Thank you so much, Genevieve. If people want to find you, where can they find you and your relationship retreats?
Yeah, so they can find me quite easily at obviously www. And it's relationshipretreats.co.uk.
Going there immediately. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
I'm just really in my thoughts right now.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I feel a bit overwhelmed.
What's overwhelmed you?
I think that self-sabotage thing is so true. But I also still don't fully get... Mm. I agree that thing of being too independent is probably an obstacle. But I still don't get how you then become less independent. It kind of goes against what I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Because I, in general, have a real issue with men are like this, women are like this. To me, that feels old-fashioned and gender stereotypy. And if I was dating men, I'd want a man who admired my independence and was equally independent. And I wouldn't want to change that for anybody. So that's some advice that personally I wouldn't and couldn't take. But some of it's really helpful.
No, I think it is all really helpful. I guess it's just how, because I guess like your personal circumstances are also different. It reminds me of, this is hilarious, but when me and my friends, like years ago, we go out and you know, it'd be like people are a bit intimidated to approach a group. So one of us would always like stand out on the dance floor on their own and try and look a bit vulnerable.
It never worked. Mate.
But I definitely think, I feel like I need to write down, that's what I was thinking when she was saying about the self-sabotage and like, what do you actually want? Mm. I feel like, you know, that meme of that guy with the whiteboard and like, he's just stressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel. I'm like, oh, what do goodness. I want? Okay, Genevieve, help me.
For next week. We were going to do this a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
we were. We're going to write down our 5.
Oh, let's do that for the next one.
Okay. Oh no, but she said 3. Write down 3 non-negotiables. And also she said, write down your motivations, what you want from a relationship.
I love it when we get homework and we don't follow through on it.
No, thank God
we will
no
this
one
week
to tell us off.
Okay. Okay, right. I'm going to start my homework. This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. Thanks to Genevieve for joining us and to you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitan's All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.